بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 16th of May in the year 2021 and alhamdulillah we've completed the 8th week the 56th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the Amir al-Mu'mineen, Sayyidina Ali ibn Abu Talib, radiyallahu. And I'm steadily going through the fateful battle of Uhud. And I'm highlighting some of the great sacrifices of other elite companions during that battle. And the reason is but obvious, if you are unaware of their sacrifices, and you focus only upon one man, like some of the deviants do, you will then start to belittle the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And most of the session last night, I talked about Talha and the Prophet's great praise of him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The unbelievers seeing our beloved Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam ascending to safety on Mount Uhud, thus made one last attempt to reach him. In Ibn Hisham in his Seerah, page 567, Tabari in his Tariq, page 1411. It is mentioned. Sayyidina Khalid ibn Walid radiyallahu with a body of troops advanced in the direction of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, i.e. who was now upon the elevated face of Uhud. Seeing Khalid coming radiyallahu, the Holy Prophet made the following dua sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do not let those people reach here. Prevent them. Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu thereupon immediately with a few other muhajireen and ansar darted forward and turned back the advancing party. So let's look at this. So Rasulullah has now safely gone on to Mount Uhud. The unbelievers still thinking, no, we can't let him escape. So Khalid in one last attempt, don't forget he was on the unbeliever's side at the time, he charged towards the direction. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he made dua. Because Ya Allah, stop them from reaching here. So like I mentioned, Umar was already on Mount Uhud. With a group of other companions, they darted down. And they pushed back, i.e. the cavalry. And the cavalry is useless when it comes to the mountain. But pushing them back was done by Sayyidina Umar and the companions. With this, the unbelievers now realizing nothing more could be done. For it would be extremely reckless to engage with one's opponents on foot. For the cavalry would be useless on that terrain. Plus they also have the elevated height advantage. The fighting thus came to a grinding halt. So again, we've never done jihad. So we don't know what, you know, why, what the fighting stops. Why? Because horses useless. Your enemies have got the elevated advantage. For you to now ascend, you're at a total disadvantage. So this was the final engagement at Uhud. With their retreat, Sayyidina Umar radiyallahu and other companions all ascended back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to tend to his wounds. So now, where was Ali in all this radiyallahu? So like I mentioned, Ali also elevated himself onto Mount Uhud. He was there. It would be fair to say that Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu, upon seeing the bloodied condition of our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was thus visibly annoyed by those who had prematurely left the battlefield. Now this is interesting. Even though Ali radiyallahu knew what had happened, why the Sahaba had split, he was still angry because he thought, why did they leave the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Where's the proof? In Hakim in his Mustadrak, volume 3, page 131, with a Sahih chain of transmission, Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, radiyallahu anhu, Ali radiyallahu used to say during the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he recited, Surah Ali Imran, Surah 3, verse 144, A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. Afa imma ta'u qutilan qalabtum ala aqabikum. If he dies, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or is killed, will you turn back on your heels? Then Ali said, radiyallahu, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has shown us the right path, we will never turn our backs to it. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if Rasulullah dies, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or is martyred, we will continue to fight for the cause of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even after him, until we are all dead. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am his brother, I am his intimate, I am the son of his real uncle, and I am the heir of his knowledge. In the presence of all these things, who else could be more fitting to his heritage, i.e. the sacred knowledge? So what tone do you notice with Ali? He's angry. So why is he angry? Because of the split. Some Sahaba had gone back to Al-Madinah, some had gone to Uhud. Some fought, he wasn't having no problem with those fighting and those who were brave. But you can see between the lines, he was angry. Why? Because he saw Rasulullah's condition. He was, you know, he was seriously injured. So what did he say? Looking at it very briefly. First he recites the Quran, as if to say, what happened to this verse? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if he dies or is slain, will you turn back on your heels? So look how interesting. You can see he's starting with this. Then he said, Allah ta'ala has shown us the right path. We've already got the right path. We will never leave it. If he is martyred or dies, we will continue until we are dead. Then he mentioned himself. Now, was he boasting? No. He was saying, I did what was correct. I am his brother. I am his intimate. I am his cousin. I am his heir. I have knowledge. In the presence of all this, who is more fitting for this heritage? But this is important to reiterate. As mentioned, our loving Lord subhanahu wa ta'ala forgave this lapse of these noble and majestic souls. Thus now truly only diseased and depraved individuals would focus upon it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve us. Amen. Now if you just mention this one hadith of Ali without any commentary, you think, look, the reason I'm upset is because Ali's upset. I'm following his sunnah. And the response to that is, you've taken one single report, left everything out, hoping people don't know left from right, and trying to, you know, put a smoke screen on the whole event. And the response is, why did Ali say that? When did he say that? What was the context of it? And you don't realize until you go through the whole event. And it's because of his love for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at the state he was in because of the error of some of the companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. The battlefield was now at the mercy of the unbelievers. Why? Because Rasulullah is on Mount Uhud. The unbelievers have control. Where lay the blessed bodies of the martyrs, including the chief of all such noble and honorable souls till the day of judgment, Sayyidina Hamza, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina Hind radiyallahu anhu was now seen desperately to locate the venerable body of Sayyidina Hamza, in which he succeeded. So now you got to go back to Badr. Who was killed in the opening duels? How were the three related to Hind? One was her father, Abu Hudayfa ibn Utbah, who was killed by Ubaidah ibn al-Harith radiyallahu. Then you've got her uncle, who was the brother of her father, Shayba bin Utbah, Shayba bin ibn Rabia. And then you've got the son, Walid ibn Utbah ibn Rabia. So relationship wise to him, one was her brother, one was her uncle, one was her father, killed in the opening duels. Then she lost her son, who was Hanzala, from her husband Abu Sufyan. So she's furious. So at Uhud, she's got her opportunity. She goes, Hamza, I'm going to get him. Why? Because he's the one who's martyred. At least survived. Otherwise, she would have gone for him as well. Then what happened? In Al-Bidayah 3-74, Ar-Rawd al-Unuf 3-276, Tabari in his Tariq 2-7, Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Hisham in his Sira, page 413 of the New English Translation. Ibn Ishaq, he relates, rahmatullah alayh, Sayyida Hind bint Utbah radiyallahu, along with her fellow women, went on mutilating the dead bodies of the killed amongst the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, cutting off their noses and ears, to the extent that Hind radiyallahu anha made of them anklets and necklaces. She also gave her gold anklets, necklace and earrings to Sayyidina Wahshi radiyallahu anha, the Abyssinian slave of Jubair ibn Mut'im radiyallahu anha. She also split open the belly of Hamza radiallahu, extracted his liver and licked it, but ejected it when she detested it. She then climbed on a high rock and said some poetry about how she grew happy, for she had finally quenched her thirst for retaliation for the killing of her father, her paternal uncle, and her brother. So look how gory the details. So let's look at this. So she's not the only one. Fellow women, obviously, with the family members. What are they doing? Mutilating martyrs. Imagine the dead. Cutting off their nose, their ears. Why are they doing that? Out of anger. You killed my father. Desecrating. You killed my brother. Desecrating. You killed my etc. But Hin went to another level. She made anklets out of the nose and ears and put them on. And necklaces. Look how gory the sight must have been. And then, before she did that, she took off her gold anklets, necklace and earrings. Who did she give it to? Wahshi. Because that was the one who killed Hamza with the spear. She promised him, if you kill Muhammad's uncle, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I promise all this will be yours. So she gave it. Then, when she got to Hamza radiallahu anhu, she split open his stomach and she tried to eat his liver. Astaghfirullah. And she spat it out. She couldn't. Then after all that, imagine the blood stain she was in. She goes onto a high rock and she starts doing poetry. And she's basically saying, I've quenched my thirst. I've quenched my thirst. So it's so important to explain why she in that state. You understand? If you don't know what state she's in, you're thinking, this is a crazy woman, Auzubillah. And the response is, you got to go back to Badr. She's been, you know, it's been like nurturing in her for a year. She wants vengeance. Hafiz ibn Kathir, he said in his seerah, volume 3, page 52 of the English translation, Musa ibn Uqba, he relates, it was Sayyidina Wahshi who could open Hamza's liver and then took it to him, who thereupon chewed it but was unable to swallow. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So there's a difference. Who could open Hamza? One report says it was Hind. The other report said it was Wahshi. What's more authentic, it was Wahshi who did that. He took the liver to Hind. Hind tried to chew it, she couldn't do it. So Musa ibn Uqba goes, however, Allah Ta'ala knows best. Ibn Sa'ad added, she mutilated Sayyidina Hamza radiallahu anhu and made anklets, necklaces and pendants from his body and brought them and his liver back to Makkah. Astaghfirullah. This is in Ibn Sa'ad in Istabaqat, volume 3, page 4 of the English translation in the chapter on the companions of Badr. So not only did she do what she did, she took back his liver to Makkah to show it. Look, vengeance. So now all of this is recorded in the books of Seerah. Is there anything from the hadith which substantiates this? And there is. In Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, number 4414, Sha'bi, the narrator, did not hear directly from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. So there's a problem. However, the narration is Hasan li ghayri. Ibn Kathir Seerah, volume 3, page 56 states, there is some weakness in his chain of authorities, namely relating to Ata ibn al-Sa'ib. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So let's look at this. So this is recorded in Imam Ahmad in his Musnad. So what's interesting about that? Imam Ahmad recorded it. So Imam Ahmad would never have recorded something unless he was happy. That's the first thing. What's the chain? Imam Sha'bi, he heard Ibn Mas'ud say. So Imam Sha'bi was a tabi'i. He hears from Ibn Mas'ud. Apparently no problem. But the scholars of the hadith say, he didn't hear directly from Ibn Mas'ud. He never met him. Therefore, we're not saying Imam Sha'bi, a'udhu billah, is a liar. A'udhu billah, is tabi'in. But where did he get this from? So there's a slight weakness. However, because of corroborating proofs, the scholars say it's acceptable. It's Hasan li ghayri. So what's the report? Sha'bi relates, rahmatullahi, that Abdullah ibn Mas'ud said, radiyallahu, they looked and they found that Hamza radiyallahu's belly had been cut open. Hind radiyallahu had taken his liver, chewed it, she could not swallow it. Rasulullah then inquired, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَقَلَتْ مِنْ خُشَيْئَةٍ Did she eat any of it? They said, no, Ya Rasulullah. She tried to, but she couldn't. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُدْخِلَ شَيْئًا مِنْ حَمْزَةَ النَّارِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not allow any part of my uncle Hamza to enter the fire. Meaning, no. All of his will enter paradise. So now, what does this mean? Does this mean that Hind was an evil woman? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah ta'ala would not allow any part of Hamza to enter the fire. Meaning if she ate it, the one who's carrying it must enter the fire. So the response to this is, Rasulullah is angry. It was his anger, right? Saying, you know, my uncle is martyred and she's gone to this extent. But he said, you can see anger in his words. But obviously, Hind was destined to embrace Islam, radiyallahu anhu. Imam Qurtubi, he commented on this in his tafsir on verse 122 of Surah Ali Imran. Volume 2, page 187 to 188, under the commentary of Surah 3, verse 122. So Imam Qurtubi, he said, Rahmatullah alayh, Sayyidah Hind radiyallahu anhu could open the chest of Hamza radiyallahu anhu, removed his heart, and then chewed it. When she could not swallow it, she spat it out. She then climbed on top of a boulder and she read the following poetry. We have avenged you for the day of Badr. Battle scene after battle scene, replete with frenzy. I could not bear what happened with my father Utbah, my brother and uncle. I have satisfied my anger and I fulfilled my vow. O Wahshi, radiyallahu anhu, you consoled, you cooled the sadness of my heart. I am ever grateful to you until my bones are reduced to dust in my grave. So let's look at this. So Imam Qurtubi mentions her poetry. So what did she say? She goes, vengeance. He goes, yes, we suffered, now they're suffering. Then she said, I couldn't stand it. I fulfilled my vow. I promised I fulfilled it. Then look what she said. Oh Wahshi, you cool my heart and I will be grateful to you until my bones are reduced to dust in my grave. And what's amazing is Wahshi embraced Islam. So if you look back at it, it's actually quite amusing. You're thinking, you know, look, they will look back to what they said. They go, Ya Allah, we didn't know what we were doing. But this is the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was making them all embrace Islam. But we're looking back. So now what about the husband? Hind's husband, the chief of the unbelieving Quraysh, Abu Sufyan ibn Harb, radiyallahu anhu. It must be said that Abu Sufyan ibn Harb, radiyallahu anhu, husband of Hind, radiyallahu anhu, enemy chief, did not approve of these barbaric acts of mutilation. He wasn't happy with this. Abu Sufyan witnessed the gruesome scene. He turned his face in disgust and he headed towards the base of Mount Uhud. During the fateful encounter, the rumor had spread. Our beloved messenger had been killed. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Abu Sufyan was going to find out any which way he could to get this information. He didn't know. So he's still hearing it. We've killed him. Others say, no, we saw him on Mount Uhud. So Abu Sufyan first, he wasn't happy. He goes, why did you mutilate the bodies? Because we've achieved victory. We just now need to know about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he goes, look how he extracted it. This is how wise he was. So he's at the bottom of Mount Uhud. So where's this recorded? So this is recorded in Sahih Bukhari, number 4043. Ahmad in his Musnad 1-288, 4-293, Hakim in his Musnad 2-296-7, Fath al-Bari 15-227-8, Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Hisham in his Sira, page 414 of the English translation. Sayyidina al-Bara ibn Azib and Abdullah ibn Abbas, they both relate, radiyallahu anhu. Abu Sufyan cried out, is Muhammad with you? From the bomb, because is he with you? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet signaled like this, don't respond. There was a pause. So Abu Sufyan's waiting, no response. He then cried out, is the son of Abu Qahafa with you? Is Abu Bakr with you? The Prophet again said, and they remained silent. So Abu Sufyan's listening, no response. Then he said, is Umar ibn al-Khattab with you? Again, no response. Then Abu Sufyan, he's thinking. And then he says, oh, they're dead. If they were alive, they would have answered. Umar could have hold it, radiallahu anhu. And he wrote, you liar, O enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has preserved us to further give you grief. Look how he did it. Look how wise Abu Sufyan was to stop in the report. So what's happened? He wants to know. Is Muhammad amongst you? Prophet goes, don't tell him. Look how interesting. Who did he ask about next? Even Abu Sufyan knew who was the second in command. Even Bali, so-called Muslims don't understand that. Even he knew. Did he ask, where's Ali? Right? Did he ask, where's Zubair? The second person he asked is, where is the son of Abu Ka'afa? The Prophet goes, don't. He even knew who's the next. Where's this hadith recorded? Gospel of Barnabas. Right? In Sahih Bukhari. Is Umar ibn al-Khattab amongst you? And then they kept quiet again. But what did he then do? This is how he got it out. He goes, they're all dead. That's why they're not responding. So Umar, you know, much bursting ego, you liar. He goes, oh enemy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala has preserved us for your grief. So Abu Sufyan got what he wanted. Then he goes, Hubbal, glory be to Hubbal, the idol. Rasulullah said, answer him now. Now answer him. They said, Ya Rasulullah, what should we say? How should we answer him? He goes, say, Allah is the exalted, the most honored. So they responded. He goes, no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the exalted, most honored. Abu Sufyan then smiled. Then he said, we have Uzza. You don't have Uzza, another idol. So the Prophet said, answer him. He goes, Ya Rasulullah, what should we say? He goes, tell him, Allah Ta'ala is our protector. You have no protector. So they responded. So Abu Sufyan then paused. Look what he said. Today was the response to Badr. War has its ups and downs. Then look what he said. You will find some people with their noses and ears cut. I did not order that. But it doesn't hurt me either. So he got what he wanted. Then he now wanted to, like, you know, show that, look, we have got authority. Rasulullah gets angry for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because respond now. He's mocking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then when he responded, look what he said. He goes, nose and ears have been cut. I didn't give orders. Look how interesting. He wanted the Prophet to know that. I didn't give those orders. In other words, between the lives of the Prophet, don't do bad dua against me. Then he said, because he's the chief, he has to say, but it didn't hurt me. In another report, he said, in Ibn Sa'd and Istabaqat, page 551, do not blame me for this, because I didn't give those orders. So why did he say that then? If he didn't give orders, why did he say, but it didn't hurt me? Ibn Abbas explained. Abdullah Ibn Abbas, he said, Abu Sufyan said, regarding your discovery of some mutilated bodies amongst your dead, this was not from a decision of our leadership. However, his pagan fanaticism got the better of him. And he said, however, if we did deliberate the matter, we might not have acted against it. This is in Ahmad, Hakim in his Mustadrak, Bayhaqi in his Dalail Nubuwa, Ibn Abi Hatim, Ibn Kathir, Sira, Volume 3, page 33 of the English translation. Ibn Abbas explained. He goes, we never gave orders. That wasn't our plan. But then he said, Ibn Abbas, because the mushriks, the idol worshippers, because that got the better of him. And then with that, like, jazbah of, you know, like, pride of idols. He goes, but if we did think about it, we would have done that. Because he wasn't meaning what he said. He just, like, you know, we got victory. And like I mentioned, this narration clearly proves that the unbelievers knew who were going to succeed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If anybody goes, oh, you know, how did Abu Bakr get into power? Go back to Uhud. Go back 10 years, brother. Even 10 years before the Prophet passed away, they had a kind of an idea who's going to succeed. Where's Abu Bakr? Where's Umar? Subhanallah. Abu Sufyan ibn Harb. You have to give him, you know, credit. Thus, how tragic and how ironic that the unbelievers could see this reality clearly. He was a kafir. Whilst many of the enlightened and misguided Muslims of today's day and age think otherwise. To Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our complaint. Imagine, we say to the Rawafid to this day, even the kuffar know better than you. You know what I mean? He goes, was Abu Sufyan a kafir? They even, Udhu Billah, they say he was still a kafir after the Prophet. But we say he was a sahaba. But at that time, you all believe he was the enemy chief. Even he knows better than you. Right? Why? He knew Abu Bakr and he knew Umar. 10 years before the Prophet passed away. And you still haven't worked here. Subhanallah. And just to add this, to finish. Hafiz ibn Qayyim, he said something very interesting here, very important. In Zad al-Ma'ad, page 355 of the abridged English translation, Hafiz ibn Qayyim said, Rahmatullah alayh, not answering Abu Sufyan was an affront to him. Then when he had convinced himself that they were dead, he was filled with pride and satisfaction. Umar's reply caused insult and humiliation to him. Not in answering him, Umar had not disobeyed the Holy Prophet's instruction. Do not answer him. For he had only forbade the companions from answering his questions and not replying to his taunts. Very important. So if you listen to the hadith, what did the Prophet say? Don't respond. Clearly said that. Somebody goes, oh, Umar responded. He disobeyed the Prophet. What happened to the great Umar? They play games. So we respond by saying, you didn't really understand the hadith, did you? He goes, why? He says it in Bukhari. He goes, okay, what does it say in Bukhari? The Prophet goes, don't respond. But there's a difference. Rasulullah was telling the Sahaba not to respond to his questions. But when Abu Sufyan started praising his God, Umar wasn't now bound by the command of the Prophet. Have you understood? He responded to his taunts. Did you get that? So Umar, this is the brilliance of Umar. Look how they were obeying the Prophet. He said, don't. But when he goes, glory be to Hubba, glory be. Then he went, glory be to what? Right? He goes, we're still ready for you. We're still going to go for you. We've still enough to give you grief. So this is the brilliance of Umar. Teaching you, look, you have to obey Rasulullah. Never disobey him. He never disobeyed him there. And Hafiz ibn Qayyim highlighted that. Rahmatullah. So all I mentioned again, trying to give you a better picture of the glorious battle of Uhud. Now, what happened when Rasulullah was on the face of the mountain? And not now, the tragic mutilation started taking place. Not just by Hind, but many of the unbelieving Quraysh who had lost their loved ones at Badr. And it was gruesome. So when you picture the martyrs, you shouldn't, you know, this is the thing, because we don't study. You 70 martyrs. And what goes through your mind? Oh, they're lying on the battlefield. How are they lying on the battlefield? Because, mashallah, probably bleeding. They haven't got noses. They haven't got ears. Their stomach's being ripped open. Liver's missing. And you go, oh, yeah. Oh yeah. Right? So don't think they were just lying on the floor. They were completely, in fact, one before I mention it here, one was martyred so, you know, he was mutilated so badly. The hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. That Rubayyah bint Mu'awwidh radiyallahu anha, she recognized their brother from her fingertips. So imagine somebody goes to you, he's completely butchered. And his sister went, that's my brother. Because how do you know? I can tell by his fingertips. How badly was he mutilated? So when you talk about the martyrs of Uhud, very important to highlight that. Yes, they were martyred. But then after that, they were mutilated. But what's amazing? The reality of this was actually honor. Why? There's a report. And before the battle of Uhud started, two companions made dua. One was Abdullah ibn Jahsh, who was the mother of the believer's brother. Abdullah ibn Jahsh, radiyallahu anhu. And the other was Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas, one of the 10 promised paradise. So Sa'ad goes, let's make a dua. He goes, okay. So Sa'ad makes the first dua before the battle of Uhud. What dua does he make? He goes, Ya Allah, tomorrow let me fight a ferocious warrior. Let us have a titanic duel. And then let me get the better of him. You know, and he's made this dua. So Abdullah ibn Jahsh goes, Ameen. Then Abdullah ibn Jahsh makes the dua. He goes, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I ask for the same as my brother. I want a strong warrior to face, come face to face with me. We have a titanic duel, but I want him to kill me. Then look what Abdullah ibn Jahsh said. And I then want my body to be mutilated, my nose to be cut off, my ears. So I will come to you on the day of judgment with those body parts. And Sa'ad heard this dua. He didn't say Ameen. He goes, I said Ameen to your dua. You say Ameen to mine. So Sa'ad goes, Ameen. Then what happened? This hadith is in Hakim. Sahih. Hayat al-Sahaba. Ibn Sa'ad al-Istabaqat. Their duas were answered. Sa'ad fought somebody very strong. He overcame him, killed him. And then Abdullah ibn Jash fought somebody. He was martyred and he was mutilated. So the scholar says, Subhanallah. Even the kuffar though we mutilated. But really, it was honor. Allah Ta'ala was answering the dua of the companions of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Why is that important to highlight? Because when the kuffar are playing their games on the earth, they think they're in charge. Think about it, even to this day, the facade that they're causing. We look at the games, but really, who's really in charge? Uhud is teaching you that, but you got to study. Uhud is teaching you that. So note, this also shows they weren't bothered about winning. They wanted to be martyred. Subhanallah. So again, all of this is important to highlight during Uhud, though we're going through the great life of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي حمدي سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل الانسان الذي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات تواصل الحق تواصل بالصبر صدق الله